This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo, and today I'm very, very excited because, of course, we are continuing on our series, or perhaps kicking off, because I don't know where this is all going to land when it's all said and done. But we have got a guest with me this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the Briar Shop in Houston, Texas, Tanner Hall.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Man, I am so excited. Now, this is great because you are actually the first person, I think this is true, you're the first person that I have actually been able to podcast in person with since my move to Texas.
Wow, that's an honor. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Wow. This is great. It's also very humbling because this does bring me back in the early days of Country Squire Radio. It was me and John David, and we were doing it out of my house.
Yeah.
And I literally off of one table that I pulled out of the garbage, next to a trash bin. And the other table was literally like just boards on top of like these stools, like the one next to you.
Amazing.
And that was how we got started. And, yeah. And so it was very humbling then. And then, you know, obviously, we were able to move it to the shop. I was able to buy the studio and I had a whole studio set up. And then we moved to Texas. And so now we're dealing with it's, I will say this, this is much nicer than what it was when me and John David started out of my house. Nicer house and nicer equipment. So, you know, progress in a way.
Yeah. You know, I was driving into your neighborhood and I was thinking, man, Bo's podcasting must be taking up, because the first house I see at the end of the street is just this monstrosity Barbie mansion, and I'm like, yeah, man, Bo,
it's just that
Country Squire Radio is taking off, huh?
Yeah, it's a nice neighborhood. No, it helps to be married to a doctor.
Okay, yeah, then the doctor does it. There you
that,
go.
That does help. But no, honestly, I do get a lot of flack from people who visit the neighborhood because they're like, what is this? And I'm like, look, I know, I didn't want to live here. It's super pretentious. It's just one of these things, like when you have to buy a house real quick.
You just do it.
This was the area too that back when during the flood was hit so heavily. Yeah. And so, and across the street, actually, I think they're still part of the same neighborhood, but they were the one that side got hit the worst. And some of those houses are still being gutted and everything else.
Wow.
And a lot of these houses, which are super, super nice, were very much on sale over the last year or so for that reason.
Sure, they were.
But anyway, yeah. So, man, I'm so happy to have you here. And
glad to be here.
So, like I mentioned, you are the tobacconist. You're actually the apprentice tobacconist.
Yeah, I'm an apprentice tobacconist.
At the Briar Shop, a historic shop here in Houston, Texas. And so, we're gonna be talking to you today.
Fantastic.
And learning a little bit more about you.
All right. I don't know what there is to learn about me. I don't know what they want to know, but let's give it to them.
Well, you know, the great thing is, typically when we have folks on the show, from our earliest guests, we've tried to have people on that were interesting people that also happen to smoke pipes. You know, we especially back then, it was more of kind of that focus on that fellow pipe smokers who live interesting lives, do interesting things, make interesting things. But over time, you know, we've tried to incorporate people, pipe carvers, blenders, tobacconists on occasion. We've never really been an interview show. But that being said, man, what I love is that you are kind of in this beautiful like cross section of the interesting guy that's also happens to be a pipe smoker, but then also like an industry an up and comer, if you will,
somebody who's
got some talent that's making their way.
Trying to.
Yeah. So let's start with your pipe journey, man. How did it begin?
Well, so whenever I was, I guess, far back as I can remember being a kid, my godfather was a pipe smoker, and he smoked Captain Black Royal. That was his go-to on the hamster cage scale of tobacco. That was definitely makes the list on there, but that was his go-to tobacco. And when I was in Bible college, was not allowed to smoke anything at all. I'm kind of incriminating myself here.
Yeah, well, which denomination?
It was Assemblies of God denomination.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a smoking frowned upon?
Smoking, no drinking, no, none of the, no vices allowed. But I wouldn't call those a vice. But
however, they would.
They would, definitely. They would frown upon it for sure. And so I ended up getting a vape pipe. This is just the cheesiest thing ever.
Wow. But all right. I want to go ahead and apologize right now for having Tanner on the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
It was nice. Thanks for having me, guys. And so that I started doing that, and I was like, you know, this is just kind of silly.
Right.
And so I stopped doing that and just went to an antique shop there in the town and picked up a pipe and went to the little CVS at the time when they still sold tobacco and they had Captain Black Royal and bought a pack of Captain Black Royal.
Oh, man. All right. So that's interesting. So did you actually go to the antique shop with the intent purpose of buying a pipe, or did you kind of happen to be there? You knew this was something that you were interested in?
I knew that it was something I was interested in, and I had been to the antique shop previously and I knew they had pipes.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, there's a decent looking pipe that's not too kind of crusted over. And so I went and picked it up. It was a LHS, one of those Purex. That's what the certified Purex on the side. And it was just a little straight kind of Prince shape pipe. And that was my first pipe.
Man. Okay. So do you still have it out of curiosity?
I don't.
Oh, what happened?
I honestly don't know what happened.
You didn't
happened.
Smoke it into the ground or anything?
No, I've moved around so much over the last 4 years. That thing is probably just,
yeah, no doubt,
lost.
So that was your first pipe, but since then, how many pipes have you owned? Do you have a collection? Are you more of like a, you know, like a one or two type of pipe smoker?
You know, I've got a collection, probably close. I think I'm at 26 pipes now. I try to behave myself and do kind of a one in, one out pipe buying policy, but it's really hard to do. And so I'm a collector and a smoker, and you know, one of my coworkers, he's got a collection that would blow the socks off anybody, especially Dunhills. He's got in the range of like 270.
Oh, is he one of those, completionists that like has to have every single make and model?
He likes to refer to himself as an archivist. He wants to have all the things, you know, he's got
that's such a classy name for a hoarder. That's great.
It is. Chris Feltz, actually the rep, here for Augusta, which is the company who distributes the Dunhill pipes and things like that. He told Austin that he's got pipes that he's never seen before.
Wow. Man, even okay, all right.
In the actual Dunhill archives, he's never seen pipes.
That's fair enough. But I'll put this: if he wants to be an archivist, he's going to have to like have a museum of sorts, like,
yes,
like and charge. You know, like see the history of Dunhill.
Yeah, he definitely. I think he could definitely do it. He's got enough to go for it. But well, who knows?
All right. So so you mentioned this was while you were in school, circa what year?
Circa 2013.
Okay. All right. So since 2013, which is right around when we were starting Country Squire Radio, how did you go from kind of, oh, this is something I want to try and vaping is funny, to where you are today as an apprentice? Like that's a decision, right? You don't, I'm guessing when you were a small child and the teacher asked you in kindergarten what you want to be when you grow up, you didn't say, I want to be a tobacconist.
No. As a matter of fact, I remember distinctly, I was the reason that my aunt quit smoking tobacco products altogether. So I was one of, you know, the school guidance counselor indoctrination of anti-tobacco.
Sure.
Really sunk in. But honestly, it was just a bunch of different life events over the last couple of years. I was laid off from a job, and I had been a customer at the Briar Shop for as long as I've been in Houston, which is about 3 years now. And so they just knew me really well, and I had just built a great relationship with the owner, Bill, and the main tobacconist there at the time, Ross. And so when I lost my job, I was like, hey, you guys mind let me come stick around here for a little while? And I was my intention was to just be there, you know, for a little while. And then move on to something else. 'Cause I was in the oil industry. And that's just always,
as is Houston.
Yeah.
You mentioned the name, we're in the middle of the energy corridor.
Yeah.
Like this is, I did not realize how I should have, 'cause Texas tea, right? But I didn't realize just how big oil was in Houston.
Oh, oil is everything here.
Yeah.
Oil,
I mean, when you're outside of Mississippi, you're like, you know, you don't you really know the industries outside of kind of your own world. And then we come out here and energy corridor. Why'd they call it that? Oh, this is where the oil money is.
Yeah.
Houston is where the oil money is. It's all over here.
It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Which company? Do you mind me asking which company you were working for?
So it was a small oil production company in East Texas.
Okay.
And, so it's called Jeffco Production Company, and they're just a small company. I operated just a home office out of Houston. I was the controller, so that meant I handled all the reporting to the government, and also I met with all of our clients were in Houston. So you've got Sunoco, the big oil companies, and so it was based out of Houston. I would just go to all the meetings, got the fun perks of the job while the owner was off making the money happen. So
hey, nice work if you can get it. But of course, the best job that's out there is being that tobacconist. And the way that I have seen it through kind of the lens of John David, but also just kind of watching his various apprentices that have kind of come through the door is, you know, you're stepping into a business, an industry, but you're really stepping into an art form.
Yeah. And that's how I mentioned earlier, I wasn't intending to kind of stay there for long term. It really, after that first week of being there, I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the history behind the shop itself, and also just being that interaction, blending tobaccos, you know, learning more and just expanding my palate a lot more than I had before. And it, like you said, it is an art form. And as a matter of fact, I just released my first blend, my own blend at the shop, which has been kicking off pretty fantastic.
All right, you got it. Come on. What's it called?
It's called Boudreaux's Reserve.
Hey.
Yeah, it's got a good dose of Perique in there, and Dark Fire Kentucky, and some Virginia. So it's one of my favorite blends at the shop now too. I was just experimenting, because after McClellan kicked the bucket, so to speak, we there was a big dip in our bulk tobaccos that we offered over that we sold.
Sure. I mean, that's a universal truth for a lot of tobaccos.
Yeah, so. Everyone's kind of hurting there for a while, and so just to fill in some gaps of tobaccos that had gone by the wayside, we just said, hey, why don't you just try to blend some? And so it was my first attempt really at blending. I've experimented, you know, and I've got my own little blends that I blend myself personally, but that was my first time to scale something up, and we've been pretty pleased with it.
It is interesting, right? Because, I mean, you know, as you mentioned, you've got blends that you kind of, you know, when you got access to all the ingredients right there, why not kind of experiment and find something that you like? But when you're taking the step to do something not just for yourself, but that has a general kind of crowd pleasing nature to it, like, is there a different mindset that you take when you do that?
There is, because I try to kind of understand what people's tastes are, and especially at the Briar Shop in general, most of our customers are really love the Virginias, Virginia blends, Perique and stuff. And I don't know if that has anything to do with our proximity to Louisiana. Probably does, but that's just kind of what they like. And so I, you know, most of the guys who come in who I know would go for a tobacco, I try to replicate those types of flavors that they like. And mostly what I like as well, you know, if you like it, then other people will probably like it too.
Yeah, sure. I mean, with some,
it depends,
you got that one outlier that smokes, you know, like straight,
I've got a guy who smokes straight Latakia.
Yeah. So we actually, had a guy back home that we've mentioned on the show, Briar, who is a huge Latakia fan, and will smoke it like practically like 99.99% of his blends.
Oh, man.
And I mean, he gave me a couple of years ago, he gave me one of his old pipes, because I love Nording pipes, but I actually didn't own any Nording pipes at the time. And he had this beautiful church warden, but he never smoked it. So he gave it to me. And I was so touched by this gift. Like, we were going at the time, you know, we were truly trying to make this business work together and everything. And it was just this great moment in time. And I still cherish it. And it's one of these things, though, when I first smoked, I can't remember what the tobacco was. And it doesn't matter, because it didn't taste the way it was supposed to, because all you could get is just that entrenched Latakia. I was like, I thought you said you didn't smoke this. Like, well, a couple of times. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of times the Latakia is all it takes.
Yeah.
It's all it takes. But yeah, this guy just comes in and he's like, I want 4 ounces of Latakia, an ounce in 4 separate bags.
Dang.
And that's all he ever buys.
Teach their own. But you got those outliers out there. But what has the response been thus far to your first blend?
It's been great. It's been really great, actually. And Ross, who everyone knows and loves, he's started a new venture, and so he's been kind of hard to get a hold of him. But finally, we got to meet up a few weeks ago, and I was like, "You've got to try this. I need your opinion on this." It's like everyone says they like it, but I need to know what you think. You
need some honesty.
Yeah. And to my much to my surprise, he loved it, and so I was like, "All right, well, I know that it's good. Then if you love it, then it's good." So yeah, so it's been. It's been great.
That's good. I mean, you know, before starting the podcast company, my background was kind of in the telecom world,
yeah,
and product development. And it's interesting because we had the benefit of, you know, hiring those big R&D firms to come in. They bring people in and you're on the one way side of the glass and they're talking to them on that side about the product and you're just sitting there watching them and they're speaking honestly because they don't know that you're on the other side of the glass. And, but you know, typically the mom and pop tobacco shop doesn't have the one-way glass situation.
Yeah.
Like they have to sit there and smoke your tobacco and look you in the eye and tell you, I don't like it or I do like it. And it requires a certain kind of customer to be that honest with you.
It does. And we've got a good group of guys who are regular pipe customers and, begun calling them the Huntsman is what they're called.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the Huntsman. So there's a group of probably 10, 15 like staunch regulars who, you know, they'll be there every Tuesday, Wednesday. They're going to be there.
Right.
And so they can be pretty brutally honest. And so they've helped a lot with that. And what I tried to do is before I just put the blend out on the shelf, I had made 1 ounce bags of it and I just started giving it out as, you know, to the guys.
With context or without context?
With context. I was like, look, okay, I'm just trying this. I want need you to tell me how it tastes. What do you think about it? And so they would, they tried it and overall the feedback was good. There was one guy who is not one of the core regulars. He comes in and he buys our detectives blend, which is an old blend that was actually created by two Houston detectives.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. And so they, over time, they just experimented, and finally got this blend down. And it's a Virginia Perique blend, but one of the Virginias in there has a slight vanilla topping. So most of you guys probably know which one I'm talking about. And he just loves detectives blend. And so I was like, well, if he likes detectives blend, maybe he'll like this. But it doesn't have any kind of extra flavored tobacco in it. And he actually said he did not like it. So I was like, okay, well, maybe it really is that some of those guys just liked that aromatic little touch to it. And I was trying to shy away from that one because so many of our blends already are in that aromatic vein. You know, when the shop first started, the early American in the mid-century time,
sure.
People were just all about the aromatics. And so we've got a huge repertoire of aromatic tobaccos, and I just didn't want something else to just kind of get lost in the shuffle of what we've already got going on.
You know, I love kind of that nod to the detective blend because, you know, every single shop that's been around that's got some history to it has a couple of blends like that. You've got the local tobacconist that is making the blends that are coming up with these recipes. But every shop has one that's kind of like, oh, we had this guy, Dave, and Dave came in and Dave, you know, just would always order this. And so we started all smoking it. We was like, you know what? We're just going to make this into its own blend. And so you get Dave's blend or something of that nature.
Yep.
And now Dave is dead.
Right.
But his blend will live on.
Right.
Or something of that
nature. And not every customer has been lucky enough over the years to get their blend out on the floor. There's some customers who we've got blend cards for them, but it's not something that it's something that's purely suited to their unique taste because I'm assuming over the years that one didn't work out quite well for everyone else.
Well, man, something we're hoping works out really well for you is what's going on this week as we record this podcast. You know, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, but obviously this is incredibly generous for you to come on and fill John David's shoes for a few episodes here. But you're doing this in the midst of a major life event for you. What is happening in Circa tomorrow?
Yeah, Circa tomorrow, about 10:50, I'm going to be flying to New York to get married on Friday.
Man, congratulations.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's really exciting. It's came up quick. I can tell you that. I was just like man, this week's already here, and then now tomorrow's it's Thursday, and so yeah, we're gonna be flying to New York, getting married. It's just us and our moms. We wanted to keep it small,
keep it sort
and
simple.
Just have kind of a big reception with everyone afterwards.
Is it gonna be upstate New York? Is it gonna be New York City?
It's gonna be New York City. We're gonna be in Brooklyn. We're gonna
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn on the promenade. I was supposed to be there's some sort of permitting things, but because technically we've got married here in Texas, that we've kind of avoided that just for the photo aspect of
the ceremony
photo aspect of it is taking place in New York. So
y'all did that right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fun, man.
Yeah.
So why Brooklyn?
Right, Brooklyn. So the location in Brooklyn, on the promenade there, you can have the whole skyline of New York City in the background.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. That's and gonna be and we picked New York mostly because it's easier to leave the country from when my fiance.
What are you talking about? Houston, we got an international airport, direct flights to almost anywhere.
Right, but there's what is it, four of them in New York, and my fiance is a flight attendant, and so
where y'all are going specifically, that's going to be a huge benefit too,
right?
Because literally y'all are going from New York to Scotland,
right? Yeah,
so that's that won't actually be too bad of a flight. Even
no, I think it's only like not even 8 hours. I don't think it's not too bad at all.
Now I know your head is going to be in the clouds and you're going to have far greater priorities than this, but are you planning on hitting up any particular say Nat Sherman while you're in town in NYC?
I don't think I'm gonna have enough time. Honestly, I get there at 3 PM tomorrow, and then from there we're going to scout out the location for the ceremony and then go eat and treat our moms to some dinner.
Have you been to Nat Sherman before?
I've been in
Nat Sherman. Isn't that shop amazing?
It's something else. I haven't been since they've kind of revamped everything.
You know what? Neither have I. Because actually, like even the last time I was there, they had the scaffolding and everything over the entrance. Oh man, I should have popped in. I was there. I was in New York City a couple weeks ago. I should have checked it out while I was there.
Yeah. When I was there, they hadn't even started. They hadn't done the kind of merger thing, I guess, was it Philip Morris, I think.
Sounds right.
And if I'm wrong, I'll be corrected, I'm sure. It's an incredible shop. I walked in, just kind of wearing street clothes, and everyone behind the counter is in suits. You know, it looks super nice.
Super classy, man.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, I am so underdressed for this place. You know, you've got all the business guys in there just smoking their cigars. And I was like, oh, I'm just a little Texas boy here to get some pipe tobacco and check the place out.
I looked super cheesy when I went in there because I had my little podcast equipment when I was recording with them. And then I was literally taking selfies with Robert Downey Jr.'s like cigar case, you know what I mean? Like, there's a level of nerd that meets. Like, I feel like nerd today doesn't have the pathetic connotation that it used to back in the
90s. No, I mean nerd culture is huge.
It's pop culture. Nerd culture is pop culture. Yeah. But I will say, taking a selfie with the actor that portrays Iron Man's cigar case does kind of get back into that little
yeah that's
not exactly like the coolest moment,
the
but I thought it was
that
awesome.
Holds the cigars of the guy who does play Iron Man,
right? like 12 degrees of cool.
Right,
we're getting there. All right, well, when you're in Scotland though, I know there'll be some opportunities there.
Yeah, surprisingly, I've only been able to find one pipe shop in Scotland. It's in Edinburgh, and it's just called The Pipe Shop. But apparently, it's one of the oldest, longest continually run stores in the UK.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to go check it out. I've browsed their website. They've got a lot of tobaccos that I'm kind of drooling over to get my hands on, especially some nasal snuffs too. So I'm excited to go check it out.
That's awesome, man. We, you know, it's great because as part of these episodes, while John David is adjusting to life as a father, we've got a series of episodes we've done with Brian Levine.
Mm-hmm.
With Brian Levine, who it's doing kind of a pipe smoking around the world or pipe smoking world tour. I'm not sure exactly what the episodes are going to end up being called.
Oh, wow.
But talking about kind of the pipe smoking in Europe and the various, it's interesting because you go from country to country and there's different kind of like, you know, availabilities and, you know, there's a strong pipe culture in some areas,
right,
a little bit less in others, and it can be a little surprising.
Right.
But I am kind of curious to hear what your experience is. Are you planning on going with a couple extra dollars, tucked away?
Oh, definitely.
You got to hope to come back with some custom blends or some custom pipes? Bit of both.
It's mostly gonna be tobaccos, I think. Before I realized what was gonna happen with McClellan taking their exit and Dunhill exiting out too, I was focused so heavily on pipes that I neglected to really bulk up my cellar. And so I really need to now kind of focus more of my attention on the tobaccos that I love so much. And less so on the pipes, but it's so hard when you just see that pipe that calls your name. You can't pass it up.
Well, it is one of those things where, you know, it lasts practically forever.
Right, a good pipe
will last forever. And I'm trying to think of the last pipe that I purchased. There's been so many that I look at and I will bite my lip because I'm like, oh, I want to buy that thing. In fact, actually, last time I was at the Briar Shop, that was dangerous. Yeah, I've got a very, very wide selection of some beautiful pipes there.
Oh, we just got a lot of new Petersons and Briarworks into within the last couple of weeks. So you need to get to come take.
I need to stop on by. My wife will just take my wallet before I go over there. It'll be good. Well, man, congratulations on the upcoming thanks, wedding. Man. Hopefully everything will go off without a hitch.
Oh, yeah. We're excited. It should be good.
I guess I shouldn't ask you that question since, again, we don't know when the dates are. But when you are back in town, how can folks kind of keep up with you? How can they find the work that you're doing?
Yeah, folks can keep up with me just honestly stopping in the shop. I'm a terrible social media user. I completely just avoid Facebook at all costs if I can at this point.
Hey, I'm the same way, man.
Instagram is where I'm most least active. I tend to be more active on Instagram, and it's just at my first and last name, at Tanner Hollier, and people can find me there. Typically, I'll just post, you know, random stories from around the shop sometimes, stuff. I need to get better at it. And then the Briar Shop, we've got Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff, too.
Spell Hollier?
H-O-L-L-I-E-R.
So, like, Howler.
It's actually Olier.
I'm sorry?
Olier.
Olier?
It's a Cajun name. Olier, and when they moved from Louisiana to Texas, everyone's like, oh, Hollier, you know.
There you go. All right.
They say the Texas kind of twang to it.
See, I was going to mispronounce it in a whole nother way, but that's what we got to do. that's part of it.
It's okay.
Look, it's a classic Country Squire Radio move, just like transitioning to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Missouri Meerschaum.
Now, I know you're a fan of Missouri Meerschaum.
I love Missouri Meerschaum.
When was your first corncob pipe, out of curiosity?
So, since I started with Briar, corn cobs honestly came later in my pipe journey. But really, I started smoking corn cobs when I started going to the Briar Shop, because up until then I didn't have a local shop, and this was around the time when you could still do free samples. And so I was like, well, I'll just get a corn cob pipe and smoke the different blends here in the shop to see what I like. And that's really where the beauty of the Missouri Meerschaum pipes come into play. Is so it relatively inexpensive pipe. You can smoke whatever you want in it, and you'll really get to taste the flavor and of what you're smoking. And so they're perfect for that.
They're excellent pipes. Of course, my favorite, the Country Gentleman, is, to me, there's so many great pipes and so many great shapes that Missouri Meerschaum has, and very, very classic, iconic looks. But there's something about the Country Gentleman, man. It's a good, healthy bowl. You can get pipe tobacco in there. We're starting to get into fall, which is like pipe smoking weather, time to get out there, get your lunting on. For whatever reason, this ends up being the time of year that I do the most fishing as well. So I'll be packing my Country Gentleman I head up on the waters, man. So should be good. Yeah. Hey, if you've got a Country Gentleman, be sure to smoke it this week. Don't be like Tanner. Get yourself on social media. Tweet yourself smoking the pipe. Retweet it out. We love to retweet those out so we can let our friends at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. Pipe question of the week. Since we've got a special guest co-host, I decided the pipe question was going to come from me. But
oh, fantastic.
I feel like this is going to speak to a lot of different folks. We've done different episodes on the art of blending, and of course, having John David on the show and being kind of a well-seasoned tobacconist in his own right, of course, is able to kind of field a lot of these questions. But for someone like you, who is still in that apprenticeship phase, I think this is a really good one. So my question to you is this. If someone wants to get started as a tobacconist today, what is the best method to go about it? And I don't mean just like, oh, pick up this tobacco, pick up these, you know, start a blending kit, which by the way, we've got great episodes on, but I mean, literally how do you break into that career?
Honestly, I think the best way that I can see, especially this is the fastest route to actually, if you want the certification, you know, you want the certified tobacconist, retail tobacconist license, is to just, if you've got a local shop, see if you can't start picking up, you know, some hours, or just kind of see if they won't let you just help out when you can. And it's the easiest way, because if you've been in the retail side for a year, you can then go and take your test without having to go through a bunch of extra rigmarole to get the license. And so that, for me, I think that's the best way, is just getting that experience, because it's not only pipe tobaccos that you need to know. You need to also know your cigars as well. And for me, that has been the biggest learning curve I needed, was the world of cigars, because I just came in pipe smoking, you know, never really fiddled with cigars much. And now I smoke them almost every day as well as my pipes. But that was the hardest thing for me to learn initially, was cigars, because just as there's so many variations and differences in pipe tobacco, the cigar tobacco is different as well, all the way to the time that the tobacco is picked and what level of the plant it's picked from.
Yeah.
It's a whole world of crazy. And yeah, and read as well. I've found there's great books out there on tobacco to read and learn and understand what you should be tasting from the leaves that you're smoking, and how a cigar is actually, you know, made, how it's harvested, how everything works. And so that's honestly the best way. Educate yourself as best you can. The internet's a great, really great resource. And see if your local shop won't let you just help out. I mean, if you're already there all the time anyways, you might as well see if they won't let you pitch in a little bit and see what you can do.
I mean, is there that fear factor though? I mean, what's the old adage? You never want to date your trainer or something like that. Like there's a,
yeah, that could be true. But you know, I was fortunate enough. The Briar Shop is always a place if sometimes it gets really hairy in there, and it's just the customer will often just help out. If they, you know, whenever I was a customer there, and I saw someone wanting to look at pipes while somebody else was off, I would just hop around behind the counter and show them, and no one ever really, you know, thumbs or nose at that at all. And so the Briar Shop is kind of a unique place in that if you can just kind of help out if you want to. No one's gonna run you off or shoo you away for that. So yeah,
that's good. You know, I've got a friend back in Jackson who's a DJ, and not like I've got an iTunes playlist, but like, no, full-on turntables. Oh, yeah. You know, the whole set, like, you know, knows how to classically scratch and oh, wow, switch around and everything. And he has people all the time that come to him and saying like, hey, I want to be a DJ, I want to do an apprenticeship with you and that sort of thing. And he'll never tell anybody no, but he'll make them work for the yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this just a little encouragement to anybody who's out there that, you know, a couple of things. One, I think what you said is absolutely true in terms of, you know, talking to your shop and seeing if you can pick up some hours. Most mom and pop shops out there, one imagines they don't exactly have a massive staff for the most part. And so, you know, someone willing just to pick up a few hours here or there can be a huge help to that shop, especially if you're the kind of person that is kind of what they're looking for, which means a good relationship in the long run, right?
Yeah, yeah, great relationship in the long run. And don't be afraid to you know, use, just make them volunteer hours too, because, you know, mom and pop shops, it's everything is the bills got to get paid still, you know. And so I think, you know, just being some sort of help to them always is appreciated.
Well, and so the other thing too is, you know, I love that you also said, you know, you're already at the pipe shop all the time anyway.
Yeah, you're already there.
Well, so think about it this way. If you're already at the pipe shop, to some extent, you're interviewing for that job every single time you go into that shop.
Yep.
So if you're there and you see new pipe smokers come in and you want to be helpful to them and you're cordial and you're welcoming and you're kind of helping embrace those people into the pipe world, exactly, and the pipe culture, that's the kind of person that I would imagine that pipe shop owner would want to bring on as apprentice, and that's certainly the kind of person that we as consumers would want to be a tobacconist in.
Right, right. We've got a guy who wants to work for the shop so bad, but he's just he's definitely not the right fit. And I think that you know, you've got to be you got to be aware of how you're, if you're wanting to get into the industry, right. you need to really be aware of how your actions and then, you know, just your personality are perceived by everyone else, you know, and so it's just one of those things that you don't really think of. I didn't think of
That's
it.
Good, yeah.
I didn't think of it of as my visits to the pipe, as to the briar shop, as being one day I'm going to work here. You know, that was never a thought in my mind.
Right.
And so, yeah, but if it's something you're interested in, then definitely gotta just keep that in mind.
That's good. Well, hey, that's the pipe question for this week. And of course, we have pipe questions every single week on Country Squire Radio. So be sure to send yours in at show@countrysquireradio.com. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. So we've got some quick fire questions for you. You know, knowing that you were going to be on for a few episodes, I got a couple of Texas themed ones.
Oh, fantastic! Okay. I'm ready.
Now this one's a very specific. We're in Houston, and I have learned since moving here that Houston is very much a taco city.
Oh, yeah.
Texas as a whole, I think, has a good kind of taco scene, but something about Houston in particular, that there's like 30 taco shops. There's more taco shops than Starbucks. Like they're all over.
There's taco trucks everywhere too.
Right. And almost all of them are delicious.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever had a bad taco at any of the places I've been. And it has converted me to the point where I start tacoing everything. I've got breakfast tacos all the time that I'll make.
Oh yeah.
And so all right. All that to say, taco edition. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Corn or flour?
Corn.
All right. I'm going to go corn as well. Chunky guacamole or smooth guacamole?
Chunky.
All the way. That's right. All right. Pork steak. All right. This is one, three right here. Pork, steak, or chicken?
Pork.
Okay.
Unless it's barbacoa, then that's beef.
Yeah. Barbacoa?
Barbacoa.
I don't think I've had barbacoa yet.
Oh man, you've got to have barbacoa.
Is it like a seasoned specific type of steak?
So barbacoa is the meat from the head of the cow.
Oh wait, okay, I've heard about this. Okay. Yeah. It's not the brain though, right?
It's not the brain, it's not, no. It's like the cheek muscles and all that meat, and it's typically just shredded.
Yeah.
And so it's just like shredded beef. But it is delicious.
And it's called barbacoa?
Barbacoa.
All right, I got to try that.
You've got to try some.
Okay. For me, yeah, it's pork as well. We started making our own carnitas, and that was a game changer. It also put my standards a little bit higher, because after making my own, now I'm like, whenever I order, I'm like, I can make it better than this. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain seasoning level.
Yeah, there is. There is.
All right. And then, okay, so that was the pork, steak, and chicken. All right, shrimp or fish?
Ooh, shrimp.
Really?
Yeah.
Grilled or fried?
Fried.
Fried? Okay. Yeah, I don't like shrimp tacos. There was a time that I could get down with like shrimp fajitas, but like I'm just not a big fan.
I haven't typically been a fan, but Torchy's tacos, they've got it's called the Baja shrimp.
Yeah.
And the flour or the batter that they fry their shrimp in is like good Southern style, like fried shrimp. And so it's a pretty good taco.
See, I don't know, man. There's just something about like fried food in a taco form, even though right now I'm willing to taco almost anything.
That's the thing. Tacos, it's a fusion food now.
It is. It really is.
It's a fusion food.
Yeah, dude. Do you want to talk about international fusion restaurants in Houston? That's a whole subgenres of subgenres within itself.
Most culturally diverse city in this union, man.
Man, you get all of the taste and everything coming together. Have you been to the International Smoke?
International Smoke.
It's not what it sounds like.
I have not been there.
It sounds like a smoke shop, but it's actually you get all of these dishes, which are all of these like combined flavors, and some are real successes and others not so much. I'll tell you more about that here in just a second. But finally, this is the last question. Mess with Texas, yes or no?
No.
I'm gonna say yes, and you'll find out why on the next episode. We're going to have you on the next round of quick fire questions. Now, I got to share this story real quick. I posted this out on Twitter a while back by the time this goes out, but I was at one of these restaurants, and you know, you and I, we are in the hipster genre class here. I think that's safe to say.
I've been called that a time or two.
Well, with the glasses and the hat. Yeah. I mean, we're talking on a podcast about pipes. We are in the hipster category.
Yeah, we're there. We've arrived.
So, you know, I am not one to naysay hipsters, but I was at this particular restaurant and I had this interesting pork belly burger with some sort of Asian seasoning that was meant to be kind of a twist on like buffalo sauce.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway,
sounded good.
It did sound good, and then you ate it.
It's better on paper, I guess.
Well, so I also got a cocktail, and they bring out my cocktail, and I kid you not, in a Spam container. They serve me my cocktail in a Spam container, and this isn't like some sort of like you know, faux thing with like a crystal whatever that we do sometimes down south. No, this is just straight up. Here's a Spam container. Here's the cocktail. We'll put a little umbrella in it. Here's a few straws. Go to town. And so I immediately get this thing, and I post it on Twitter, and it's gotten quite the reaction already.
Oh, I'm surprised that thing didn't go viral, man. That's...
Well, it's kind of building its way up there. Because I said, you know, as hipsters, I'm not sure where the line is, but I know where it's been crossed, and this is definitely something.
There's lines I definitely will cross, I can tell you that.
To me, man, it's more like when we have completely thrown out function for form, and form is just ridiculous.
Yes.
And that's when we've gone beyond.
Yeah, it's just useless.
Well, I'll tell you what's not useless, man. That is you coming on the show and filling in. You've done a great job, man. Of course, you're a fantastic blender. People can find your blend right now at the Briar Shop. Is the Briar Shop online as well?
So our website is under construction. We're getting ready to move, similar to the Squire.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more next time.
And, and so website's down for now, but you can call in. Our phone number's on our Facebook page and our Instagram, and call in. We do mail orders all the time, so just can't Washington State, sorry about you, but can't mail you your goods.
Well, everyone else, be sure to mention that you heard about it on Country Squire Radio. And man, Tanner, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, of course, you can keep up with Country Squire Radio throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio. You can follow me at The Real Beau York. You can follow John David at John David Cole, where the show's handle is at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, Tanner, man, let's go have a day.
Let's go have a day.